Amen. Let's let the musicians go ahead and have their seats. Welcome to the house of the Lord today. Amen. I mean, it's happy to be here.
Amen.
It's always good to gather with the saints of God and be in the house of the Lord. So we appreciate God giving us another opportunity. So we just want to go ahead and get right into the Word. So if we'll just open our Bibles to Psalms chapter 27. We'll start reading there. A little lengthy on the reading this morning, but I think it's pretty good and necessary for a foundation of what we want to talk about this morning. The title of this morning, I'm going to call it Without Cessation. Psalms chapter 27, verse 1. If you remember, this is the text that Brother Branham read for his rapture message. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Amen. Now let's go to Luke chapter 1. We'll begin reading verse 26. To take away from that psalm scripture is the fact that the Lord in the time of trouble will hide us in a secret place.
Yeah.
Amen. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Amen. And now I want to go to one more passage of scripture, Matthew chapter 24. And the takeaway from that scripture is, she said, be it unto me according to thy word. Amen. Matthew chapter 24, verse 23. "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." And we know it's not possible to deceive the elect.
Right.
since God elected them, how are you going to defeat that?
Right.
Behold, I have told you before. This is Jesus talking. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, we believe, Lord, laying before us is the most important part of this service. We have enjoyed the song service, Lord, and having it usher us into your presence. And so now, Lord, we just want to take this time that's before us and give it to you in every aspect. We're asking, God, that you would have spoken what you want spoken, and you would just do what you want to do now. We surrender ourselves to you, and we don't want to have a program in ourselves except just to yield to you and have you take us down the pathways that you want this morning, Lord. So we're asking, God, that you would do that and that you'd speak to every heart. Lord, that you'd go to those that are missing this morning and you'd bless them and just let them know that they're missed and they're loved and just bring them back at the appointed time. And Lord, we just commit this service now to you in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. And you can be seated. Enjoy the song service. I could sense a heightened presence of the Lord this morning, even on my way driving to church this morning. It's just one of those things that sometimes you just want to sit down and cry and say, why? Why would he come? But we're thankful. I don't want to question it. Just enjoy the fact that he does. So I want to speak to you about a title this morning, Without Sensation. So now we read here in the last scriptures that we read there in Matthew chapter 24 that Jesus is saying that there would come a time, and chapter 24 there in Revelation, it's Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. They all tell the same thing, just from different writers. But he gives a sequence of events that's going to unfold all the way down to the end time because the disciples ask him. And so he's saying this and then this and then this and then this. And we get to the end portion. This is what he said where we read. He said, at that time, if anybody would say to you, lo, over here is Christ, or over there he is, come on, go over here, because that's where he is. Uh-huh. If anybody says that to you, don't believe it.
Right.
You know why he said that? Because he knew at the end time, that's exactly what would happen.
Right.
Because he said, at that time, many shall rise and say here or there or this or that. And so, I wanted to read a quote real quick, just before I get too started. I started too far on this Without Sensation. And this is where Brother Branham, it's in, this is the sign of the end serves. And he's enumerating the different mysteries that this angel would come at the end time, and we know it was his ministry, would actually take and bring these mysteries out in the open. And so he lists quite a few of them, and I'll go through them. And this will be another foundation for us to go from. So he says a mystery is scripture. It is a previously hidden truth, now divinely revealed. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's a truth from the Word of God out of scriptures that has been hid, but now it's divinely revealed. That's a mystery. But he goes on to say, but a supernatural element still remains despite the revelation. Now, what that tells you is that God can come down and reveal deep things to you and mysterious things to you and hide it from the rest.
Right.
Right? And Brother Ram, in coming into the seals, God hiding himself in simplicity, but then turn around revealing himself in the same. And so he does. He hides himself from the wise and prudent, but he reveals himself to babes, to those who will learn. And so he says that's what a mystery is. So he names them, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, he goes down through there. The first one's a mystery of the kingdom of heaven. The second one is the mystery of the blindness of Israel. And I don't know, for some reason, he misses number 8. Okay, so when I count these and I don't say number 8, it's because he didn't.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So second is the mystery of the blindness of Israel. Third one is the mystery of the translation of the living saints at the end time. The fourth is the mystery of the New Testament church in one body, comprised both of Jew and Gentile. The fifth mystery is the church as the bride of Christ. The sixth mystery is the living Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. The seventh mystery is of God, even Christ, as the incarnate fullness of the Godhead embodied. The ninth is the mystery of iniquity. And he says that's found in 2 Thessalonians. The tenth is the mystery of the seven stars in Revelation 1:20. The 11th is the mystery of Babylon, the prostitute. And he goes on, he said, that's some of these mysteries that the angel is supposed to wind up, all the mysteries of God. And he said, may I say this with reverence, and not referring to myself, but referring to the angel of God. And he starts naming more mysteries. The serpent seed, that's been hidden, a hidden mystery all through the years. The grace, straightened out, not disgrace, but real grace. No such thing as eternal burning hell. You'll be burned for millions of years, but anything that's eternal never had a beginning, and hell was created. All these mysteries, and the mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost without cessation. But the person of Christ come performing the same works that he did. Mystery of the water baptism, and he goes on and speaks of different ones. But the one I wanted to point out there, he speaks, one of the mysteries is the mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost without cessation. And so I wanted to read that to you as part of springboard here this morning for where I'm headed with this. So in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is saying here at the end times, we're going to have all these different false prophets and false Christs that would rise up, and said they would actually show signs and wonders that would be very deceptive, and it would deceive the very elect if possible. Now, bear with me. When I read that, what I hear is that these signs and wonders will deceive everybody on the earth except the elect. Right. Amen. Now, you can tie that to Revelation when you go out and hurt everyone that doesn't have the seal. Right? So, we understand that. That is our protection, is the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so, he's telling us here that these would rise up and they would show great signs and wonders that it would deceive the very elect if possible. But he says they're going to say, lo here or there. But he breaks it down and he says that if somebody says he's out in the desert, don't believe it. Right. Or if they said, well, and I'm gonna try to bring it forward, you know. So if they said, well, it's over here at Donnie Reagan's church. Or it's up here at Ed Biswell's church, or it's out in Tucson where Brother Branham went, or it's up at Jeffersonville, it's over here, it's over there. Don't believe that.
Right, come on.
You're missing the revelation when you think you've got to go to some geographical place or some person at some geographical place. He warned us of this. And even Brother Branham, whenever these seals were opening and everything, people trying to follow him different places. People wanted to move to Arizona when he moved out there. And he was trying to get them to not do that. I mean, he remembers that on tape.
Right.
He's like, no, he said, no, no. He said, I promised God that anything new that I would preach, I'd preach it in Jeffersonville. So if there was going to be a place, then that would probably be it. But he said, no, you do what the Lord tells you to do. So, because otherwise, if he said, yeah, come on out, it's all right out here. We're going to be out here in Tucson. We're going to get together and have us a little commune out here. It'd be wrong.
Right.
Because Jesus said so. So even Brother Branham, being correct, being that prophet, he had to express himself exactly the way the scriptures. And you know, I believe, as we've said many times, that even people today who think Brother Branham's going to return, you can find in the scriptures where they thought Elijah was going to return.
Yep.
So here it is today, you know. And so you find that Jesus was saying, listen, don't fall. Turn this down just a little bit, Ben. You find people saying, don't fall for this trick whenever they try to tell you, you've got to go here, you've got to go there. Don't believe it. But he ends it up by saying this, because where the carcass is, that's where the eagles are going to gather.
That's right.
right? Not someplace, not over here, not over there, not some man or something else, but where the carcass is. Mm-hmm. Now, I looked at that word carcass, and that word carcass, it's a slain body, mm-hmm. right? A slain, a body that's been slain, that's died, right. Been killed or whatever. And so that immediately tells us that where the eagles are going to be gathered, they're going to be gathered to the carcass, to something that's been slain, and I'll say it this way, to a rejected message. Yep. Right? I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's what Brother Ram said. Right. This generation, when he had been resurrected before us, in signs and wonders and all the things that Scripture told us would come through a ministry at the end time, Jesus Christ was made alive and well in this day, and they crucified him with their creeds and their dogmas and all their churchianity. Mm-hmm. They crucified him. Yeah. That rejected word, it had to be rejected in order for the blood of that life of that word to come upon you and I and be the atonement. Right?
Yeah.
Right? In order to have, because remember Brother Ruth said that token couldn't even be offered until evening time. And the last Laodicean age is evening time. I'll come in and sup with me.
Right.
So only in this day could that actually happen. Mm-hmm. But for that to happen, there had to be a lamb slain at evening time. So it wasn't just him being slain 2,000 years ago.
Right.
But at evening time, he had to be slain so that life could come upon the believer.
Yeah.
So where we're going together is going to be where that carcass of that rejected, slain word is.
Yeah.
That's where we're going to be. Mm-hmm. Not here, not there. Oh, behold, this Christ or this anointed one, and that word anointed one means Christ.
Right.
You know, go over here, this guy's got it. Over here, that guy's got it. It's wrong.
Uh-huh.
Right? What's got it is the Word.
Amen.
The Word that has come forth. So now it seems like a paradox here. Because the Scriptures is telling us, now it's not some secret place or some over here at the desert or and not in the desert southwest in Tucson or something like that. Not there, right? But yet in Psalms 27, in a secret place, he'll hide me. And so what you find out is that it's not a geographical secret place, and it's not some specific physical person that's anointed that's got it, right? But it's the Word that has it, and yet that Word comes through physical, a ministry that's a man.
Right.
And so this is what's so important. We have to believe. Then this is what they had a hard time believing. We have to believe that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Not just to look at the Word and be attached to the Word, but to the God that was in the man expressing himself. That's what he was trying to get to us. So when the Holy Spirit come back to us after Jesus resurrected and come back, when the Holy Spirit come back, it wasn't a physical thing that we received. It was something, a spiritual thing that happened, the Holy Ghost. So he's telling us here that it's where the carcass is, that's where the eagles will be gathered. They'll be gathered to this rejected word. So now the Scripture said, as the lightning shineth out of the east to the west, and that word lightning there, if we take it literally and say that like a lightning strikes, you know, if lightning struck at a certain place, you know, the flash from it goes off in every direction, east, west, north, south, that's not what it means. But it's there, if you look at that, it means a shining light. Mm-hmm. And so he's telling us, when people's going to say this and they're going to say that, don't worry about it, because here's how it's going to come. It's going to come from east, traveling westward. And Brother Branham laid that out very clear to us. The gospel is light. Scripture says so. And it started in the east, and it's migrated westward. And it went into Germany, then went into England, and then it came to the United States and migrated. And now we're on the west coast where Brother Branham had been sent to the west. Mm-hmm. See?
Yeah.
And so he's telling you that this gospel message, that it would start over there, and as you see that it come through Luther and Wesley and Pentecost moving westward, that's the channel it's going to come through. And it's going to be that gospel that comes like that. When it gets into the West, then you're going to see this thing happen. right? This is how the coming of the Son of Man is going to be. It's going to come like that. And so, if Brother Branham would have been in the east, in the west, and would have been told at the opening of the seals, you know, you have to, and he did. The angel said, go back to Jeffersonville because he said so. I'm going to give you everything new here. But you see that whole message was moving westward. Moving westward, and even sunset was on the west. Yeah. So it had to be that way. And so he tells us that it comes like that. It comes from the east to the west. And so that's the way the gospel has migrated. But remember, at evening time, there shall be light. Yeah. Evening time is where it sets in the west. And so once that gospel got to the west part of the United States where the seals, the angels came and opened up the seals and or gave him the commission to, if we go any further, we go back east again. If you go any further, you have to jump the international dateline. So God knew what he was doing with all that. So my point is with all this about Matthew chapter 24 is to realize that it's not a man we're chasing after. It's not a man. Even Brother Brandon himself said, not me.
Right.
Don't look at me. But it's that voice behind the voice. It's that God who was expressing himself through that ministry. That's what we're looking to. And so, as we near the end time, you realize that we have to come back to what it was at the beginning. So we realize that God had his thinking. He put his thinking in words. He spoke it. He realized, or God knew, he's infinite. He always knew before the world was. He knew what you would be. And if you, as the end time bride, sitting on the throne in authority, in judgment with him, you occupied that position in his mind then.
Right.
And so he takes that thought, he puts it in a word, sends forth a creative power, and you're going to come from that creation. And as you're here on this earth, you're going to grow, and you're going to mature, and you're going to come to the place. And when you leave here, death doesn't change you. So you're going to arrive at a character on this side that matches what he had for you in the first place.
Right.
So at the end, you've got to come to the beginning. Mm-hmm. Well, at the beginning, what was the way that God created? He created by spoken word.
That's right.
Right? And so we have this phrase that we've used, it's in the message, the spoken word is the original seed. So if you want the original thing God had in his mind, the only way you can get there is to go back to the original word. Mm-hmm. You can't have anything other than that.
Right.
It's got to be the original word that would produce the original thought, original word, original thing that God had for us. And if at the end time we have to come to that place that he had for us to begin with, then we have to come to a revelation that produces... comes from the original word that produces it.
Right.
Now, and so what is it that can create? The original word.
That's right.
If you take that word and you mix it with something else, is it now created? No. It's been hybrid. So the only thing that we could ever, and you know, truth was lost through the ages. Mm-hmm. Who had it? Brother Branham didn't even have it.
Right?
God has it. And God's had to come down and reestablish truth through a channel he established. Had to be something he established, and that's how it comes, and that's the only way. And if we ever can get to that position he saw us to be and knew us to be and ordained us to be from eternity, the only way that can happen is for us to have an encounter with the original creative word that will create and form in us that expression. Can't get there any other way. So it has to come through a channel. It couldn't come through denomination. Couldn't come through all of man's system. God had to raise up something at the end time that was totally outside of all that he could push himself through and bring that original word so that it could form within you the original Christ. I'll say it that way. And so, no man had it, but God does. So, back in the garden, we said we had to have the original word, original seed. But back in the garden, the original method of creation, the original method of bringing forth children, was to be by spoken word. It was not to be by sensation.
Right?
And so I was explaining this a couple of days ago when my wife and I went down and spent a day with my dad, his birthday Friday, and so we got opportunity to share more things with him, and the Lord provided that, and so we were talking about it. And so, but the original method was to be spoken word, and I was explaining to them that Adam was to speak. And in Eve's womb would have been formed sons and daughters of God.
Yeah.
And so that's why Mary came along,
yeah.
Right? And she had to produce an antidote to the opposite of what that was, something that could reverse what that was, mm-hmm. Right? What happened back there. And so this angel comes to Mary, and angels just bringing the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
God had done spoke it. So this angel Gabriel comes to Mary, and all he's doing there is packing a message, right? And he tells it to her, and her attitude is, be unto me according to thy word. She didn't say, okay, come here, Mr. Angel, come lay with me.
Right.
Right? She received the Son of God in her womb just simply by believing and without sensation. And that's the way it was supposed to be back at the beginning. So you find out that it was to be by spoken word without sensation, but Satan come along through the serpent and gave us sensation.
Right.
He provided this, what was, he tricked her into believing was an alternate method of bringing forth children, and it come by sensation. Totally opposite. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith don't need to feel nothing.
Yeah.
Faith believes and produces what that word is that it believes. And it don't need to feel something. It don't need to touch something. Right?
That's right.
All it needs is faith to believe. And so that's the way it was going to happen. And so when Mary come along, that's the only way he could reverse what happened in the garden, was to have some a sister that could believe the word enough that word would form inside her womb and without sensation.
Right.
Okay? And so without the faculty of man. Mm-hmm. Now man, you know, I believe that angel stood there physically and could have picked up a bottle of water if he wanted to. Okay, so there was a physical manifestation of somebody packing the message, mm-hmm. But the one packing the message wasn't the message.
Right.
He was just packing the message.
That's right.
Right? And so what she believed was she wasn't receiving the word of an angel, she was receiving the word of God that was sent by an angel.
Right.
So she didn't have an intimate relationship with the angel.
Mm-hmm.
She had this belief relationship with the word. The promised word they are. And so, sensation will never bring the original word.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't to come that way, and it still won't come that way. And in this day, a movement that points to flesh, to man, to sensation, will never bring forth the original word, which is the very thing that we have to have to get us in original position. It can't come from the flesh, though it's packed through the flesh.
Right?
Right? So you see, Brother Branham brought us a message, right? And because he was bringing it, he was Christ to us, but it's the Christ that he delivered. That's the one we're married to, and Brother Branham left the scene, and Christ is still here. The Word, the revealed living Word. That's who her husband is, right? And he's not here or there or someone else. He's the carcass. He's the message that was rejected. And there's not a geographical location you've got to be to have it.
Right.
And there's not a certain person you got to send underneath to have it.
Right.
You just have to have the encounter of the one that was brought through this end time message.
Right.
And so that's why God had to take Brother Branham off the scene.
Yeah.
He did.
Right.
I've admitted it many times. If he was still here and he was having meetings, places, I'd be jumping in the car, taking every vacation time I could go, because I'd be going to those meetings. And as long as I'd be doing that, I'd be leaning on the arm of the flesh, and I'd be guilty of the very thing he warned us about right here at the end time. Don't be chasing after the flesh, going here and going there. You go to that carcass.
That's right.
That's what he's telling us. So I'd be guilty of that. And so God knew that. And I've said it this way. He has to wean us. Has to wean. And that's why, you know, the people who were there with Brother Branham, we love their testimonies, their blessings, and all these things like that. But we cannot lean on those things.
Right?
So, now, I'm saying all this, and I want you to think about Pentecost. Because Pentecost, the whole movement is based upon what? Sensation.
That's right.
And Pentecost will never, never, ever get us where we need to be.
That's right.
If we're leaning on sensation. Mm-hmm. And me personally, I believe that the scripture types out message people today mm-hmm. who are missing it.
Right.
Because when Elijah got ready to be caught up in the whirlwind, you know, he was traveling from different city to city, and they said to Elisha, you know, your master's going to be taken up. Yes, hold your peace. And he goes across, and he is caught up, and Elisha comes back, and Elisha knew that Elijah had left. He had this encounter
right.
with Elijah, and he knew that he had said, you know, I want a double portion of your spirit. And he said, you ask a hard thing, but when you see me, you have the revelation of me ascending up into heaven, then my spirit will come back upon you. That's a type of the fact if we can see Jesus Christ ascend to the highest spot, you know, and ascend into heaven, where all power in heaven and earth is given to us, then that anointing comes back upon us. Why? Because we're believers. We accept him and believe him to be the Messiah. And so that it comes back upon more of us, and so it's a greater number of the very life that he had is now multiplied here. That's what that was a type of. But you notice there that, I think it was at Jericho there, when it was going to, when this all was going to happen, when he come back, and he said, where's the God of Elijah? And the waters parted. They saw that. But yet, there were, and I guess it called it prophets, but these men, and it said, there be 50 strong men here. And they believed that maybe perhaps Elijah had not been totally caught up in the whirlwind, that maybe perhaps God would have dropped him off on the mountain. And so this was their opinion of themselves.
Right.
We got 50 of us, which is Pentecost. Mm-hmm. So that's what it represents. And we're strong.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we can tell you what's going on about this Elijah. We know we can go out and search this thing out, and we'll tell you what happened to this man. We'll tell you, he went off with the word at the end, and God judged him and all that. We're strong. We're Pentecostals. We can do what we can tell you how it is. And you know that's what they've done.
Right.
So scriptures even show that. But Elisha, which types the bride now, who now knows that prophet left and that message is now in our hearts in multiplied form, mm-hmm. which is Christ. We know that's happened, and we know that he's not coming back to finish some work.
Right.
But they don't. Mm-hmm. They think he's coming back.
Right.
And all we can do is say, okay, go search it out. And so why I said typing message people is because of this. He's telling us here we've got to have a revelation to the Word and the Word alone to go beyond the faculty of the man, the physical of the man, into the Word itself to such a place that God can take the Word, the man, and the Word's left here,
right.
And we have no problem with it. Because we know the Word is what we're to be married to, and that's where we are. And God can take him, and yeah, we miss him, and we wished he was still here, but it ain't no different. I've got the Word. That he was a messenger that brought him to. See? And so, when you have people that are leaning to the flesh, refuse to let God take that man, refuse to let that man make mistakes,
right.
They're nothing but Pentecostals. Mm-hmm. Because they're hung to sensation of man.
Yeah.
And they'll never produce the original word that way.
Uh-huh.
Because it's without sensation. Follow me?
No.
It is without sensation a mystery of the age. A mystery where God shows us it's a hidden thing in scriptures and now he's revealing it to us and we can see it and yet you can't go just tell it to anybody because it's got to be revealed to them.
Right.
But we see it. We see it. Right? So This is what happens. So God had to take Brother Branham off scene, but now people who are stuck with the flesh, they have a problem with that. Oh, he's got to come back because he didn't finish everything. Uh-huh. They don't have a revelation.
Right.
They quote quotes, but they don't have the revelation.
Right.
And they're making a mistake the scripture said they'd make. Mm-hmm. Right? They're making mistakes that Brother Branham warned about on tape.
Right.
But somehow they missed that. Somehow they missed the scriptures. And I said the other day, hopefully, far be it that we as the bride would call ourselves that and be missing things just like the denominations, because just like a woman who's a preacher, what does she do with that scripture when she runs across that? What about a woman who cuts her hair? What do you do with that?
Right.
How do you get over that scripture
right.
and say it's okay?
Right.
How do these people continue to believe these things about Brother Branham when it's right in the scriptures and even he warned us not to do these things?
Right. Yep.
Yet they do it anyway. So all I can tell you is that they're just hung to the flesh. They got to hang on to the man or somebody to represent the divine movement. When really God's saying, you've got to get to that carcass, that word. That's your husband.
Right.
There's where your atonement is. Brother Branham didn't bleed and die for us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
See? That word did. That's what's rejected.
Right.
They reject Brother Branham because of the message he brought. They loved him with his miracles and all the things that he was able to do. They loved that. But when he began to speak that word, that's when they divided.
Yep.
Same thing they did to Jesus.
Right.
See? It's that word that they're after. Why? Because that's where the creative power is.
That's right.
Amen. That's where the original thing, that's where this bride can come into that final position ready to sit on the throne with him is when she comes in contact with that very thing that can create.
Amen.
Anything shy of that, nothing's going to happen.
Right.
Stillborns.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right?
Now, if we hang to something that's not the word, what is it? Mm-hmm. That's what I was explaining to my stepmother. I said, that Catholic Church is a harlot system, but she had daughters. And any Protestant church system that has doctrines and beliefs and things that they hang on to that is not in the Word that was formed by the Catholic Church, they are those daughters, and they're whores too, harlots too.
Right.
That's right. Because if it's not in the Word, where is it? Where does it come from? If it's not Christ, then it's some other person that's being manifested. See? So when we hang to a man, what we're doing is we're putting that the faculty of man, whether it be a person himself like Brother Branham or any minister, Donnie Reagan or whatever, if we come to him, oh, you ought to be here. This is the one. You've put a man between you and Christ Jesus.
That's right, right.
And the scripture says that there's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus, and who was the Word made flesh, right?
Right.
So he's the one. We've got to get to him at any time. And you have to realize that Satan can't allow you to get to that. He can't allow you to get to that creative, original, spoken word. Because once that happens, it's over with.
Amen.
So he's got to come up with all kinds of schemes and all kinds of ways to stop us from getting there.
Right.
And it can be ever so close to deceive the elected if possible. But it can't deceive the elected. But it's so close. It's like we said there in Goshen, where it was darkness in Egypt, where you could feel it.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I wonder, you know, I mean, if you're standing over here in Goshen and it's light, you take one step and you're pitch black, can't see anything. I mean, there's how close?
Uh-huh.
How close? And I was telling my stepmother, I said, them foolish virgins. How many steps behind, if you're trying to get in that door that he's going to shut and the wise goes in, it don't take me just a couple of steps for that door to let the wise in and the door shut and you miss it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take far.
That's right.
It doesn't take very much to deceive those who aren't elect.
Mm-hmm.
And they make the very mistakes that Jesus told us about right here. You go for where that carcass is. And don't be going over here and over there saying this man or this place or that place or in the desert or in a secret chamber. And yet it is a secret chamber.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a physical chamber.
Right.
It's a spiritual location. A spiritual experience that we have with the word of the hour is what it is, what does it. And so Our experiences here at the end time have to take us beyond Pentecostalism to the place where God can perform in us what he said he would do in this day without cessation. I don't have to go here, and I don't have to go there, and I don't have to shake a man and put my name on a book.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right?
I don't have to feel chill bumps.
Right.
I don't have to do anything except believe the word that God said in this day.
Right?
Right? And that, if that word that I believe is the original spoken word, guess what it's going to do in the womb of my heart and your heart? Right? That's exactly what we're after. It's going to create the very thing that God wanted us to have in the first place. So, we have to go beyond Pentecostalism into a place beyond sensation where the living word is produced in the womb of our hearts without sensation at the word of an angel, like it was Mary. Right? So we have to go beyond, we have to go beyond the feeling of low here and low there, and I gotta feel this and I gotta touch that and I gotta have this and I need to feel the sensation. And we want to go beyond that back to a place where the word creates life within us. So to lean on a man is the opposite of faith. Right? To require a man to touch or to require, I gotta go here, I gotta have my Mecca, I gotta do this, and we have all done it. I felt wanted to go to Jeffersonville, but I'll tell you, it was just that my human side wanted to see and see where the prophet walked. There's nothing wrong with that. But if that's where we stay and we don't grow on into the place where we realize, and I'll tell you, used to. When I'd listen to the tapes, I couldn't wait to get to the end to hear the discernment line.
Uh-huh.
Not anymore.
Right.
I want to hear what he has to say.
Yeah, right.
Right? That's what God, and look at the pulls. First pull, sign in the hand. Something you can see, something tangible. Oh, he can take me by the hand. Pentecostalism. And I found that again. I told you, I don't know if I've read it to you or not, but Brother Rem said, God, at that time, he said, God won't let me tell you the truth about that, but maybe one day he will. It was just so their folly could be made manifest. Because after he did that, all these other guys come out, oh, I got sensations, I got oil in my hands and all this stuff. Right?
That's right.
And he said, it's all so their folly could be made known. But that was just... So we could never come to the creative word to produce that bride movement in our hearts as long as we were chasing after that, then speckles going across his hand in waves to tell what it was that the gift of the sickness was. If that's all we were chasing after, listen, folks, that was something you could see.
Yep.
People could look at that. See? But that would never produce this spoken word in our hearts to produce the bride movement. So went to second pool, which was without touching, but just discernment, but still a man standing there and people chasing after the fact that a prophet can stand there and discern and do all these things. But the third pool, the one that brings the rapture,
right.
No public showing.
No.
Satan, why? Because he said if there was, Satan would try to do harm with it, try to imitate it or something like that.
Right.
So God moved the whole end time ministry out of the flesh of the hand, out of the discernment of, and all, out of the Pentecostal realm, where everybody's got to feel something and go somewhere and all that kind of stuff, and come over into a place where Satan can't even mess with it. Right? And there is where it's all going to happen. That's the secret place where we're raptured. Right? Brother Ram comes along and he helps us to understand that the marriage of the Lamb happens here and we leave here and go to marriage supper. Really? It happens here? Do we think, and this would be the way the Pentecostal people would think, we would think that someday Christ is going to appear and he's going to gather us all into one big place and we're going to have a big ceremony and walk down and he's going to take us by the hand and have a great big something and everybody can see it? No, the ceremony you have with that word is not a public showing.
Right.
It's in a secret place with you, in him. in your heart.
Amen.
Amen. It has to be on that form. This is the only way life could come. Now, I'm going to get kind of adultish here, but I have to in order to get the point across to you here. This is the only way life can come. It's a secret, intimate, closed off to everybody location or spiritual condition, in this case, with Christ, where we're feasting on the Word, the rejected Word of the hour, the slain carcass, right? We're feasting on that. The secret place Brother Ram told us about, that in a time of trouble, he would get us there in the secret. And there we're protected while all kinds of chaos is going on. And nobody can get to us because we're hid in this place. Right? Secret third pool chamber. Not a physical place. Not a physical tent that they think. That's why they think Brother Ram has to come back, because they think it's a tent. And he told Perry Green, he said, I do not know what my tent vision means. See? He didn't. But when you and I can look and see everything that he said and the revelation begins to come forth, we know what he's talking about. That it's in that secret place of this hiding that he's going to draw us in there and something's going to happen. And if you remember in the vision, people would go into that little tiny room, that secret place, and when they'd come out, they'd be totally healed on the other side. Yeah. And you remember saying the highest form of healing that we can get is a body change. So that's just what this experience does. And I'm saying all that to say this. Our rapture is to be caught up into that secret place with him. And the end product of going into that secret place is a body change.
Right.
And Pentecostals won't go there. Because mm-hmm. they're still hung up on sensation. They're still needing a man. They still need to go here, go there. Mm-hmm. Find some connection that's leaning on the arm of the flesh, and rather than going straight to the relationship of the divine revealed word of the hour,
right.
And that alone,
right.
To a place where we have to believe by faith to be in that room with him. Because
yeah.
Every one of us, Satan gives all of us plenty of stuff to make us think, well, I don't know how it'd be me, why would he marry me? Uh-huh. But by faith, to realize we're in that room with him,
yeah.
By faith, and I am his bride, and he is forming it within me,
right.
In the womb of my heart. And I am being protected, right? And when this is done, I will go in a body change.
Yeah.
And this is that third pool, and the rest of the world can't see it. They don't know nothing about it, and Satan can't imitate it, mm-hmm.
Right?
But that's the only way we'll ever get there and have it, is to believe it by faith, because that's what's happening.
Yeah.
And then in that condition, to know that he'll do just exactly what he said he would do. He'd live through us and express through us like he said he would do. And so, like I said, it's not a secret, some place like in the desert or something like that, but it's a secret experience in the Lord. Now, I said I have to get a little adult here. So it requires this secret relationship between the male and the female, the Word and the Bride. And that's where life can come forth. That's where consummation takes place. And you know, when a man or woman gets married, it's funny, we just had this wedding recently, but when a man or woman gets married, and after the marriage ceremony, does the preacher go with them on their honeymoon? If he did, it'd be perversion. If this encounter of the bride with the Word by faith in an invisible realm of spiritual experience, if that's what it is, and you try to pack along some man, some sensation of man, and it's in the experience with you, it's perversion.
Right.
And I can say that because, you know, natural type spiritual. And in this day, when we've got all this perversion, you know, the right, Brother Ren said, what is it? It's the right act perverted, mm-hmm. Right? So when it's supposed to be between a man and a woman, and in a holy matrimony, Satan's got to do something different. So he comes along and he says, well, you don't have to have marriage. You can just do it. You can just have a relationship. And now he's got the place where he says, and it can be a man, or two men, or two women. So he's got to attack the form that God made it to be. And it don't have to be in a secret place. It can be out in the open. And we got all this filth where everybody can look at it. Mm-hmm. Right? That's a natural typing one. Spiritual. That Satan wants to come along and he wants to be there with you. And he wants everybody to be able to see your experience. And God said, no, they're not looking at your experience or the word. It's a secret place. They can't look on it. Right? In an hour where that just floods the earth, pornography. God said, I still have a bride and it's just me and her.
Amen.
And nobody's going to be. And that's why the wise virgins, when the other one said, give us, are like, sorry, can't give it to you. This is a secret place between me and my Lord.
Right?
Right? You got to work this out yourself. You got to go, you know. And so, because oil represents the Spirit, it gives you illumination to be able to walk in the hour that you live in that's dark.
Right.
So, that's perversion if you try to bring somebody else in. And so you don't take the marriage officer with you on your honeymoon.
Right.
You don't need him anymore. He's done his job. But we got people that says, oh, you got to still have the marriage officer in your experience. You got to still listen to him. You got to go to him, you know. No. You're married to Christ now,
right?
Just make sure you're married to Christ,
yeah.
Right? And so I'm not endorsing not listening. You know, I'm not listening to the tapes. I'm telling you, listen to the tapes, but go beyond the man to Christ the Word, so that you know that in your experience everything's fine, even though the man's gone.
Yeah.
Even though you can't come and sit down and say, Brother Branham, I got a problem. I need to talk to you. You can't do that. God don't want you to do that or he'd still be here.
Right, right.
God wants your experience to go beyond that so you don't have to go here or go there and think that this man's got it or that man's got it. That God does give you ministers that can help you. But by no means would those ministers do anything except say, here's Christ.
Right.
Right? Here's Christ. Y'all just have a good time. I'm going on my way. Right? And that's what it's about. And so, Jesus warned us here when he said, don't go over here and think all this stuff. You realize that it's going to be the carcass, the word. So God wants to take us back to the beginning. And when we go back to the beginning, to produce in us what he said in the first place, that only happens at the end when he brings the word to do it. Right? That only happens at end time when he brings the lamb that can be slain to give us token life. It only happens at the end. And so true understanding of marriage and divorce could only come at the end. Right? The truth about it. Adam and Eve, they failed. They didn't even have the truth of it. You see what I'm saying? Moses didn't have the truth of it. He was having to allow divorcement and all that stuff all through the ages. They didn't even have the truth of it. But now we do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now we do. We have the understanding of these mysteries. The hell is not eternal. They will fight you over that.
Right.
People will absolutely, you'll find out who your friends are if you bring these things up. That God is not three gods. They will cut your head off for that just about. I've seen it. I've seen them, people that were sweetest thing you could believe and talk about God not being a Trinity and turn hideous on you.
That's right.
I've seen it. Some people sat right back here in that bench right in front of Benjamin one time. Seen it happen. They would do it. See, why? Because it can go all along just fine, but when you finally get to that truth, Satan says, can't go there. And that's all it is. When they fight you with these things, that's all it is. And because of it. And you know what? I don't know for me, but I always, when I encountered things like this, even back not knowing it, not knowing the things we know now because of the message, those things felt perverted to me. Every time that I've went to a church that was a Trinitarian believing church, it felt nasty to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. It felt nasty. It just didn't feel right. It felt, and any time one where a woman would get up and preach,
right?
It's a nasty feeling.
Yep.
And all I can believe now is that that was that predestinated word in me that says that is not the way it's supposed to be.
Amen.
That's a perverted system, and the hunger that I have in me wants the purity of the word. And so if that's what's in us, The purity of the word, it has to reject. Feels that's all nasty. Just get away from all that, because it wants the word and it wants the secrecy and privacy of Christ in our relationship and not on public showing. And so he takes us back to the beginning like that. Then that produces the original thoughts, the original understandings of all these mysteries. It had to. It's not possible, friend, to get us into a place. I say it's not possible, but you understand the phrase. To get into the place where he's ready, we're now seasoned and ready to sit on the throne, and he's going to change our bodies and put us on the throne, and yet we don't understand servancy. And we don't understand Godhead. And we're all mixed up about marriage and divorce. You think he's going to do that? He's not going to put us on that throne not understanding these revelations. Right? So he comes to bring that original creative word to produce in us the revelation of Jesus Christ, which straightens out all these mysteries. And he's doing it through a ministry that was of man. But yet it's not the man. It's the Christ that came through him. That's who you're married to. And this whole thing shows us how that God requires that we, by faith, can believe that a man who has faults and failures can stand before you and bring a perfect message. Brother Daniel can stand here. I can stand here. Brother Branham can stand before the people with failures and faults, and yet God can speak and lead and guide. And we have to believe that. Ultimately, you have to believe in your own life that God can overcome all your negatives and make you a trophy of his grace.
Right, man.
You have to. Because if you don't, where are you going to be?
Right.
As it's marvelous in our eyes to realize the way he's done these things.
Man.
And so he takes us back to these original things. And once we have these original beliefs and understandings, then what happens? You start living by it. And when you start living by it, there's where the trial comes. Right? There's where it is. And Jesus said a city's not set on a hill can't be hid. And you don't light a candle and hide it under a bushel. That'd be ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
You light a candle because you want it to shine light.
Right.
And if you want to hide your city, don't put it on a hill.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed in the scriptures that she, the bride of Christ, is that city that sits on a great mountain. And Satan come along and tried to mimic it by putting Vatican City on seven hills, right? But we, as the bride of Christ, are supposed to be set to where people can see, and when you start expressing that, then you become a target. So that's where it works, and that's the way it works. And that's where the test comes, because we're embracing him. Amen?
Yeah.
We're embracing him. So we refuse to be adulteresses. We refuse to receive into the womb of our heart other teachings that's contrary to the word. And they'll take that and say, you're a cult. See, you won't listen to nothing else. No, we've been there. We've been through all those nothing else's. And we've come to the realization. And it's like I told a man one time. I told a man and his wife, I said, it's not an offense the fact that that I was talking to a sister and her husband. I said, you know, your husband's not attracted to my wife. That's okay. Right? He's not supposed to be. Right? So, you know, if you don't want my Christ, that's fine. Right? But don't tell me I can't have him.
Right.
Because I love him. Right? He's the one I want. So do what you want. If you want to have your own system and call it whatever, but don't try and make it out to be him, because he's not that. And neither are we. Amen? And so I trust that you understand this morning that in our experiences, we got to get beyond the flesh into the place where it's without sensation. We don't need to feel something. We don't need to experience some great sensation for God to be at work.
Yeah.
Amen? You like it? And I'd rather have a church that's lively. I'd rather have a church where worship is, you know, that's fine. But I'll tell you, don't lean on that.
Right?
Don't lean on whether a preacher is excited or not excited. Sometimes we're more excited than others. Some ministers have that and have more of an expression than others.
Right.
And then, yeah, if that's what floats your boat, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that, and I took notice of this before even hearing about the name William Branham in this building in Pentecost. And I sat here in service after service, and it was like empty to me. But when they'd have a certain evangelist come through, and I didn't understand it at the time, but I look back on it now, and I realize that the certain ministers who would preach the word, and they'd preach typology and things like that, man, I'd come alive inside.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, why, what? And now I understand. I understand what was happening, see? We're connected to the word, and give me that. And he can be a shout, or it can be quiet. It can be running up and down or whatever. Just give me the word.
Right.
Tell me about Christ. Tell me the truth of the hour. You know, show me more about him, because he's the one I want, right? And that's what we want. And I know that you do. And so that's coming into the secret place with him. That is our rapture. And that's what eventually manifests itself in a body change. But it has to come that way first. Now, if you think about it, Mary, it comes the way Mary did. We just read it. Mary didn't have a sensation. She didn't go to a big meeting where somebody laid hands on her and anointed her with oil and all that. She just believed. And when she believed, did she have a sensation? No. She just believed.
Right.
And the next morning she got up, and if she could stand in the mirror, she didn't see nothing.
Right.
But she believed. And the next day, she didn't see nothing, but she believed. And that's the way it is. But eventually, after a while, you keep believing, and you'll begin to see changes in your life.
That's right.
You're not going to get it, because if you have an experience where you come up here, and me or Brother Daniel lay our hands on you, and you feel chills go over your body, and you think, okay, I've got it, it's great, it's wonderful, chances are you're probably going to go out the door, and within 2 or 3 days you're going to be back where you were.
Right?
We've seen it. Because that's all Pentecost has to offer.
Right?
That's all that kind of, and it really, I just baffled that in the message we have churches that still, you know, I have a guy that works for me one day. He come and he said, I got the Holy Ghost last night. And I didn't tell him, but I'm thinking, well, how do you know? And I know because he went to a UPC church.
Right.
And he spoke in tongues.
Yeah.
And that's what he was talking about. I got the Holy Ghost. And you hear this in message. Oh, so-and-so got the Holy Ghost. How do you know?
Right.
You're not listening to the message.
Right.
They had a sensation. They had a shout. They had some sort of manifestation. But that's no guarantee that the word's in there.
Right?
See what I mean? We ought to quit occupying our thoughts and our beliefs and running down this trail and thinking we got to have this and we got to have that. Go, oh, because I'm still talking about what did the angel say.
Right.
I'm still on that. What did he really tell us? And he told us, you get away from all that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Get to that place where that word is formed in your heart.
Right.
Amen. God bless you. Let's let the musicians go. I believe. You need to listen to those tapes until God raptures your body. You need to come to church until we can't come to church no more or whatever. You need to listen to those tapes and keep on and keep on and keep on until they won't let you listen to any more or whatever happens. But you keep connecting to that word as much as you can. But just remember, it's the man, it's not the man, it's the Christ, the Word, amen, that you're married to. Amen. Let's bow our hearts to Him. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to sit around your Word this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would just take and anoint your people's, their thoughts, their mind, their thinking, and help them to understand. I believe they do. But Lord, if there's any confusion anywhere, may you sort it all out. Help them, Lord, that their experience becomes even that much more stirring based upon the rock, the revelation of your presence among us. We love you, Lord, and we appreciate this time. And we're just asking, God, that you touch everyone and go with them as they travel and as we go through this week, Lord. Give us victories. Keep us in your presence. And as you were with your prophet, and never failing presence, Lord, that's the desire we have. Help us, Lord, to become more sensitive to your presence, to realize that you're always with us. And Lord, perhaps you would grant to us a greater level of communication and fellowship with you this week. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you. Ask God you'd be with us now, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. We'll be with in the house of the Lord today. Tim had songs for us.
When he is my everything, he is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He
say that he is my everything. Amen. I was sharing the other day, I said, you know, we used to, I don't know if y'all probably haven't heard it, Mary might have heard it years ago, but there was a song called Paul's Ministry. You remember it? And I was sharing with my dad and stepmother, I said, this song says, I counted on Adam, I counted on Cain, I counted on Judas, but he was the same. I counted on Jonah, but he proved untrue. So go tell the world, Paul, I'm counting on you. And I said, I understand the song, but see, they all made mistakes. But Jesus didn't. Right? We all make mistakes, but he doesn't. And so we put all of our care on him. We put it all and say, Lord, it's on you. I'm a mess up. I'm just trusting you each day. And so, you know, many of you probably remember the testimony we gave here some time back about 4 months ago, that little baby that was born to the granddaughter of my stepmother, I guess is what you'd say. So they had a baby, and it was born with a hole in its heart. Remember the prayer request we gave? Or in its lung, I'm sorry. I keep saying that. Lung, hole in its lung is blue when it come out and so forth. And they rushed it down to the hospital in Tyler, and it was in ICU and all that stuff. And if you remember, I mentioned this, you know, the hole was on the backside of the lung. And the doctor had made a comment that if that hole was on the front side, it would be easier to deal with. And you know, Dad had called up and we gave the prayer request. We prayed over it, whatever. And then, so the next day, That hole was in the front side. The doctor said that hole was in the front. I don't know if he thought he made a mistake or whatever. And if you remember, that was on a Saturday. By Wednesday, that hole was gone.
Yeah.
So my wife and I got to hold and play with the little baby there. We call it a miracle child. Cute little fella. And so God is faithful.
Yeah.
Amen. You believe. I don't care what you get encountered with. You believe. And you take what God, and so what will happen is right in these moments when you really need God, Satan will say, do you feel it? No, I don't. And many times we shy away because we don't feel it.
Come on.
But that's what we've got to come to, because listen, I don't think we're going to feel it when it comes rapture time. Right? But what we do have is we believe it.
Yeah, right.
We believe it in our hearts. And so, you know what? To become to a place where we believe it's such that we're immovable in that. Right? We're immovable. And so, we thank the Lord for that. And we have a little video of the little child if anybody wants to see it. He's a cute little fellow. And he's had trouble with acid reflux. Keeps that coming up, and it obviously burns, and he cries whenever it happens and stuff. But see, the Lord's taking that from him too. And we prayed for him, and I expect to hear that back too. So just believe. I want to thank you for your prayers. Just pray for those that are sick. Sister Clara, I know she has kind of went through a real rough time this week, and I know she appreciates your prayers. I also pray for Sister Gloria. I'm not sure where she is. A lot of times she goes out of the state, out of town to Tennessee, visiting her family for weeks at a time, and sometimes she goes out of the country back to Honduras or wherever it is she's from, and she'll stay for weeks at a time. So a lot of times whenever she finally comes back, she'll say, I've been gone for 3 weeks or something like that. But probably wouldn't hurt if somebody reach out to her and especially pray for her, that she be established in the Word. That's all we ask, right? I don't necessarily need their physical presence here so much, even though I know that's where they need to be. But what I do want is them to be established in the Word. And I believe if they're established in the Lord, they will be here. They will come in fellowship. But just ask that you pray for them and anyone else that you know needs prayer. But, so God bless you. We'll sing this, and you can be dismissed. Amen. Mm-hmm.